I want to welcome everyone joining us online as well. So glad that you are with us. I honor your pastors, their family, the team. I have been coming, I think, for about 18, give or take, years. And it's just such an honor to see what God has done, even over that time frame, with three trees, and I celebrate it. Since I've been here last, I have done weekends, I have done student camps and conferences, I've done some of the marriage retreats, but since I've been here last, I'm a grandpa, and love being a grandpa. I believe they have a picture of Lennox John. He was born on Christmas Eve, and I walked off the stage from speaking, and they said, "You need to come, he's on his way," and I love being a grandpa. I'm also going to be 52 in June, so just moving in on the front end. I'm a newbie to it, but this whole grandpa stage. And how many, just by show of hands, grandkids? You got grandkids, some hands going up all over the room. Just new to the grandpa world, but thinking even between that and just the age factor. They say that you know you're getting old when a recliner and a heating pad is your idea of a hot date. That's not funny. But they also say, they'll talk about your sleeping habits and stuff as you age a little bit. And many of you, you'd be able to tell me, my grandpa just passed. He was 2 months from 100. And so people that are well ahead of me could share a lot too. But for me, every night around midnight, I'm shocked to find out it's only 8 p.m. So that's not funny. But I do like to go to bed early. Anyone else, you just find yourself wanting to go to bed early? I like to read, get a book, whatever. But it's funny growing up, stay up all hours of the night. And just as you get older, at least for me, I like to go to bed early. I want to talk to you today. We're starting a new series on God Does Save. Can we say that together? God does save. Can we say it one more time? God does save. And I am believing today the Holy Spirit's going to do some amazing things. I told your pastor I really wrestled this week in a good way with the Holy Spirit as he was speaking to my heart. Much of what I will share is brand new this week, just being stirred in my spirit. Fell asleep last night praying for you, whether you're on site or online. Woke up at about 3 a.m. and for about 2 hours this morning, just continuing to pray that God will do what only He can do in your hearts today as we talk about God and salvation, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so let's pray today. God, we thank you so much for what you have done, what you are doing today. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would challenge us, the Great Commission, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We talk about new life that can come. And I pray today, your word that's all-powerful, speak to us today. I promise I will give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, this means, the writer said, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and all of this is a gift from God who, if there was one word that jumped off the pages this week to me, it's this word, brought. Brought. Notice this, who brought, as I was reading this week, it's amazing, and I challenge you even in your daily reading, if you would see this word in a new light, the amount of times that word brought is used, even in the Gospels, brought repeatedly over and over again. Here we see it in the letter to the church in Corinth, brought us back to himself through Christ. God has given this task of reconciling people to him, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. When you think about God saves, I would love in our time together today for the Holy Spirit to help you to see someone in this seat. Someone in your school, someone on your team, someone in your college or university, someone on your job, someone on your street, subdivision, someone in your family, you would say, Pastor Micah, I just don't know if there's any way I could envision God saving. Who is that? Your son, your daughter, your sibling, your parent, your buddy, your friend. Who is it that in our time together today, I believe the Holy Spirit could speak to your heart and challenge you to see them in this empty seat? When you think about the world that we live in, when I say some of those things, and I watched a lot of young couples walking in today, I have four kids. My two oldest are married. My one son-in-law, Air National Guard. Another son-in-law, electrician, competitive CrossFit. When I look at just the world of influence in their lives, recently, just a few weeks ago, did a baptism of a guy, and his name was Jay, very muscular, and puts on the baptism shirt, and it's like almost busting at the seams. And I'm getting ready to baptize him. His wife is crying, and they're telling me that he was just not long ago not sure there was even a God. And so I'm getting ready to baptize him. I'm asking him, you know, Jay, what changed? What? And I had no idea. I found out in real time. He said, your son-in-law, the one that does competitive CrossFit. He said, we go to the gym together and had several conversations and talks. And his name's Trayvon, my son-in-law. Trayvon, Trey said, you know, why don't you come to church? And I'm finding out in real time, right in the baptism moment, that my son-in-law at a gym gets up at 4 a.m. and eating his seven eggs. And the power of a conversation with Jay that ends up in baptism. If I was to ask who's in your world, who goes to the gym that you go to? Who is it that if the Holy Spirit was to speak to your heart, God would say, I have planted you for a purpose, on purpose. It's not just the paycheck. It's not just the position. It's not just the school district. It's not just a team. It's not just the locker room. It's not just, what if the Holy Spirit spoke to you today and challenged you that one of the real reasons is for you as the salt of the earth and the light of the world, for you to share the gospel. People need Jesus. Dr. Rubino said this, 85% of people are affected by low self-esteem in the world today. That's a lot of people that you could potentially be surrounded by. Self-love index studies say 60% of people wish they had more respect for themselves. Only 1 in 5 women feel confident in their appearance. Bradley University said issues with body image cause men to suffer from depression, anxiety, social isolation, low self-esteem. RSPH said research shows Instagram to be the most damaging social media platform for self-esteem. The Wealthy Her Network says nearly 8 out of 10 women express trouble with their self-esteem. I have 3 daughters. I have my youngest, a son, Micaiah Solomon. As a dad standing here today with 3 girls, this next one really, it actually like hurts my heart even thinking about it. 94% of teen girls in the U.S. have been shamed for their body size. Dove Self-Esteem Project, 72% of girls feel excessive pressure to be attractive. Digital information world studies show the social media can cause low self-esteem and negative thinking. The National Institute on Media and Family, by the age of 13, 53% of American girls are unhappy with their body. GH study, 4 in 5 men would not describe themselves as being attractive. I read just this week, I know it's not about this, but they say that just men having surgeries, trying in some way to improve their bodies or their physique or their looks, up 325%. Another study said low self-esteem is linked to violence, school dropout rates, teenage pregnancy, suicide, low academic achievement. Orth said absent fathers, poverty, and a low-quality home environment have a negative impact on self-esteem. The U.S. Department of Justice, we have several judges that attend our church. I had about a three-hour meeting the other day with one of them. He's telling me in the breakfast in the last week or two. He's telling me about one of the young men that he is dealing with in the judicial system. His mom died in his arms. I believe he was 11 at the time, tried to bring his mom back, was not successful. And what has subsequently taken place in this young man's life because of this trauma and what he's been through. His dad is not active in his life right now. The U.S. Department of Justice said 90% of all homeless and runaway youth is because of absent parents. 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders, again, absentee fathers. 71% of all high school dropouts, an unhealthy relationship with dad. 75% of adolescent patients in substance abuse centers, unhealthy relationships with a dad or a parent. The Royal Society for Public Health, rates of anxiety and depression have increased 70% in the past 25 years. 94% of teens experience negative and intrusive thoughts on a daily basis. 7 out of 10 young people report experiencing cyberbullying through social media. Young people who use social networking sites for more than 2 hours per day are more likely to report poor mental health, including psychological distress. Several doctors in a combined collaborative study, and I'm quoting, said low self-esteem has been associated with a number of psychological, physical, social consequences that may influence successful adolescent development and the transition to adulthood, including depression, anxiety, suicide, disorder eating, violent behavior, early initiation of sexual activity, substance abuse. 50% of men surveyed said they don't believe they're intelligent. 55% of men don't think they're liked by others. The University of Iowa said the average child, if I was to ask you today, how many of you have children, how many of you have grandchildren, think about this. Maybe you have nieces, nephews, or you coach a team, think about this. The average child hears 432 negative statements per day, but only 32 positive statements each day. If you've read any of the Chicken Soup for the Soul, Jack Canfield, they've written a variety and a variation of writings of that people can read, Chicken Soup for the Soul. I'm quoting what he said. 80% of children entering the first grade scored high on the self-esteem inventory. By the fifth grade, only 20% of the children were scoring high, and by the time they graduated from high school, that number was down to just 5%. The average three-year-old laughs 40 times or more a day. Some studies had it as high as 120. Let's take the known low number to be safe. The average three-year-old laughs 40 times or more a day. An average 40-year-old laughs 3 times a day, according to Psychology Today. In other words, as we age, we can lose our laughter. We can lose our joy. They say 8 out of 10 kids don't go to church. If I was to talk to the young people in the room or the young adults joining us online, when you think about, hear my heart, I love students. For years, traveling and speaking, youth nights and student camps and running internship programs, and 8 out of 10 kids don't go to church. 9 out of 10 kids go to public school. And so if we rely solely on the agenda at times that society has for our children, my kids play travel sports, running track right now, and my youngest playing varsity basketball, and the commitment level to that. Sometimes even the politics involved. But I just want to submit to you today that when you think about 90% of kids being in the educational system, and at times, thank God for godly teachers, but at times, the agenda or politics that can come with some of that, and then if you were to tell me 80% of them do not sit in this seat, that's troubling to me that they're exposed to the politics, but not the presence of God, the agenda, but not the anointing. That stirs me when I start to think that we are going to push them into a certain arena of influence, but they miss out on the anointing of God that could break and destroy yokes in their life, the presence of God that could help them find their purpose, the love of God that could envelop them. That stirs me today about the importance of us investing in our students, giving towards our children, encouraging. There should never be a time, hear my heart today, there should never be a time that we would drive them to a game and we would not drive them to God. It's too much gas. It's too much time. It's too much travel. Can I tell you today, this is the greatest seat they'll ever sit in. This is the greatest place and position we will ever put our sons and daughters and grandchildren, is when they hear about the purpose and plan of God for their life. They say the two greatest days in our lives, the first day is the day we're born. The second is the day we figure out and find out why. God help us to see salvation come to our students. In America, there's one divorce approximately every 30 or 40 seconds. Approximately 50% of all American children will witness the breakup of a parent's marriage. I have witnessed that as a child, my mom and dad divorcing, my wife's parents divorced. Of these children, close to half will also see the breakup of a parent's second marriage. Hundreds of new blended families are forming every day, but I say all that simply to say I want you to notice and hear this statistic. Approximately 45% of these children say that they are doing well. 55% of them say they are struggling. I won't ask for a show of hands of middle-aged men in the room, but something I read just this week, the three leading causes of death in middle-aged men are now, number one, cirrhosis coming from alcoholism, number two, drug overdoses, number three, suicide. And they are calling them, these are not my words, they are calling them deaths of despair. Think about even the wording, the terminology that you put verbiage to that, deaths of despair. As a pastor, that stirs me just hearing those words, deaths of despair. That means somewhere there's a middle-aged man that's thinking, there's no way out. There's no hope. I'm at the end of my rope. Whether it's an addiction, a habit, pornography, maybe they had an affair, maybe they had a broken relationship. I don't know what it is, but somewhere there's a man who's thinking there is no way out, when in reality, through the word of God, we know that God said, I will always provide a way of escape. There's always a way to get back up again. There's always a way to get out. There is always hope. But what are the chances today that you are surrounded by people who are in despair? They're walking up and down the hallways of your school or university or college. They're walking up and down the sidewalks of your streets and subdivision. You see them in the lunchroom or the locker room, and they need to know that God does save. People need Jesus. Would you say that with me today? People need. Charles Spurgeon said, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. Leonard Ravenhill said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered, it's a command to be obeyed. Billy Graham said, the greatest thing we can do for the world is to give them the hope of Jesus Christ. I recently asked my mom, Mom, how did our family come to faith? I'm gonna be 52. I've never asked. I knew my early years, but I was like, Mom, how did our family come to faith? She starts crying. It was over Christmas. She starts crying. She tells me she had never been to church in her life, never. And she tells me that a man at a milk factory, his name was Leonard. Leonard persistently and repeatedly asked my dad, Mike, will you come to church? And my mom and dad go to church for the very first time. And Mom said in that very first service, both her and my dad, while they're sitting in the seat, make a decision to accept the free gift of salvation. I was so moved as my mom was sharing this with me because I started thinking, I don't know Leonard, but where would my life be without Leonard? Angel and I, my four kids, my two son-in-laws, now my grandson, serving God, living for Jesus, where would my life be if it wasn't for a man at a milk factory that persistently was like, Mike, why don't you come to church? I want to challenge you today, three trees. Who can you see sitting in the sea? Maybe you don't work at a milk factory, but who is it in your world of influence that the Holy Spirit would say, what if you get up the courage, what if you get up the boldness to say, God, I want to go out of my way to invite someone to Jesus? When you think about the power of an invite, we're coming up on Easter, which is the highest attended weekend of the year nationwide. Few stories I would share with you. That the first, they have a picture of missionary Gadudu. He's quickly become a very good friend. He's a missionary we support monthly. You see him here on the left. I recently preached the pastors and leaders conference for him in Uganda. These are some of the children he feeds. Really, it's in the thousands and thousands of children weekly that he feeds. You see one of them here on the right. They are at our church right now. You see a banner here. Thank you, Storyside. That's the church I pastor. They're at our church right now with about 20 of the children from Uganda. That they're there over Easter weekend, going to be with us, going to several French churches and stuff. But over Easter weekend, they'll be singing for us, sharing some of their stories. They arrived just this week. The one little girl on Wednesday night, she's missing both of her arms, but she's on the stage and just dancing. She was 11, I think. Her little feet just dancing and missing both arms. Another girl missing her limb, and she has a large scar on her head. There was some Muslim and Islamic attacks where she was at. They burned some buildings. She was in a house that was burned down and almost lost her life. And missionary Gadudu, they're on trending. They're on pace right now in 10 years to see 10 million salvations. How many knows that's awesome? 10 million salvations. Feeding these thousands of kids in the process of purchasing a school, planting churches. Missionary Gadudu doesn't know how old he is. He was abandoned as a baby. He thinks he's about 50. He told me he randomly picked January 15th as his birthday just so he can remember it. I asked him just this week, I said, Missionary Gadudu, how did you come to Jesus being abandoned on the side of a road and then raised by this community? How did you come to Jesus? Missionary Gadudu told me, he said, when I was 15, someone handed me a Bible. Now I want to ask you today in these final few moments, do you think he doesn't know who they were? He doesn't know their name? Do you think that person had any idea when they handed Missionary Gadudu a Bible that they were handing the gospel to 10 million people? Do you think they had any idea when they extended the word of God that's quick and powerful, it was going to feed thousands of kids a week? Do you think when they extended the Bible, they knew the feeding that would come out of that, the church plants that would come out of that? What if there's people in your life that you have no idea, the families in the future that could be changed simply by you extending the gospel, the good news? Tim Bradford that's on the screen. He's 6'10", went to Oklahoma to play basketball. He's here with his wife, Jill. Tim, all three of his dads died. His biological dad, his second and third dad died. He was age 3, age 14, and age 17 when the three of them died. He's been shot at, wrong relationships, drugs, alcoholism, hated God, wasn't even sure there was a God. Thought if there was a God, how could he let that happen? At age 45, he was up to a case of beer a day throughout his 50s. He said he would think about suicide repeatedly, and his wife, who's about a third of his size, would persistently bug and bother him. Will you come to church? Will you come to church? Will you come to church? And over again, Tim would tell Jill no. Finally, in his words, he told Jill, I will come one time if you promise not to bug or bother me anymore. But how many of you know that often God only needs one time? The Bible says better is one day in his courts than a thousand elsewhere. I've witnessed a lot of Tims over the years that were like, I'm going to come and I'm going to leave. I'm not going to stay long. I may sit in the back. I may sit in the shadows. But there's something about the anointing and spirit and presence of God that knows how, even in a room that's full, to start making you think God is talking to me right now, which he is, because he loves you and he died for you and he cares for you and he would have done it just for you. Now, Tim hardly misses a weekend, serves as a greeter, serves as an usher. Multiple of his family members have now come to church. The next picture you see is Heather Myers, divorced mother of three, heavy drinking, lost her children, lived with multiple men. At one time, you see her there on the left, she shared her story Wednesday night. At one point, Heather was living under a tree. Abuse, addiction. She went through our Georgia's House, which is our freedom home for women. Now she's clean, filled with the Holy Spirit. Just got her counseling certification. Now she's serving and helping other women. Maybe even the most exciting thing, the three children that were taken away. Now she does nightly Bible studies with them. And even the other day, the 11-year-old telling her mom, this is what I'm reading. This is what God is speaking to me. I just want to celebrate today that God saves. I want to thank heaven today that there's no one too far gone for God. Jesus saves. Addie, the next young girl you see on the screen, picture of her here on the worship team on the stage. Family loss. It was death. Her family decided to run from God. She was in a relationship that involved cheating. She played competitive basketball. In that competitive basketball, she started receiving the affirmation of another lady. Ended up getting in a very tight relationship romantically and affectionately with this girl. Her family is severed and broken. She felt so alone. And Addie's own words, she said, I'm parked in my car crying my eyes out, sitting at a reservoir watching the water thinking there is no hope. And one of her friends invited her to a student night at Storyside. That's why if I had time today to talk to all the business owners, don't ever underestimate sowing into student camps and summer camps and VBS kind of events and children's ministry. Don't ever underestimate, parents, the importance of getting your children into the presence of God. Addie, who is at the very bottom in her life, ends up coming to a student night, and now she's free from addiction. She's out of unhealthy relationships. God has healed her heart. She serves on the worship team, serves on the student worship team. Jesus saves. God has a way of bringing people from the very bottom to seat them in what the Bible calls heavenly places. In our final few moments, Matthew 19 says in verse 13, one day some parents brought their children. Everyone say brought. I hope you never read the Gospels the same. I hope every time you see the word brought, which is a lot, you're going to see it every time like I believe God is helping me now see it. I hope today you're challenged to thank someone who brought you. I hope you text them, email them, call them, pray for them. I hope today is a day that you're like, I reminisce, I'm reminded of the people who brought me to Jesus. Thank God for parents who bring. The Bible says in Mark 2, a few days later, news spread that Jesus was in the house. And verse 3 says, some people, other translation says, four friends. Again, I don't know Leonard, but I'm sure glad he said, Mike, will you come to church? The Bible says here that some men brought a paralyzed man to see Jesus. And when Jesus looks up at a torn open roof, the Bible says he sees their faith. Thank God for friends who have faith to tell their teammates, their classmates, their coworkers, their neighbors. Thank God for people who say, I want to get you to Jesus. John 1:42 says, and Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. I don't have to change Simon. You don't have to change Simon. Do you think Andrew realized in that moment when he brought Simon to Jesus? Do you think Andrew realized that this guy is going to stand up one day and see 3,000 people saved in one day? Do you think Andrew has any idea this guy is going to say to a paralyzed man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee? Do you think Andrew realizes that this man is going to be part of some of the most miraculous early church ministry moments that we have recorded? He's just bringing Simon to Jesus. But the power of the gospel looks at Simon and says, you are, but you will be. That's what Jesus said. You are, but you will be. That's the good news today, that when we come to Jesus, he never leaves us in the same way we came. Maybe even today you would tell me, I am nowhere near the man or the woman that I was when I first came to Jesus. That's the power of the blood. That's the power of the cross. That's the power of grace and mercy. God changes lives. Simon becomes Peter. Revival breaks out in Peter's life. Who is your Simon? As we come up on Easter, they say on Easter weekend that 6 to 8% will walk in by their own initiative, 2 to 3% will like a program being offered, 8 to 10% like the pastor, 3 to 4% it's because the church met or assisted their needs throughout that year. But 75, hear my heart, 75 to 85% of people that come will come because they were invited by a relative or a friend. Who's your Simon? Come on, Andrew. Come on, Andrew. Maybe God sent me here from Ohio today to challenge someone. Come on, Andrew. Come on, Andrew. Come on, Andrew. Come on, Andrew. Who is your Simon? Who is one invite away, one prayer away, one, hey, I'll sit beside you. Who is one away from seeing Simon become Peter? Chris, who's joining me on stage here as we get ready to pray, started using at 21 Oxycontin, heroin, 2 30-month prison sentences. Stole $250,000, another $30,000. Sit with me if you would, Chris. Stole $70,000 from his grandmother. At one point, he got so low and so bad because the area, the doctors, the nurses, they knew he's just after more medicine, more pills. At one point, his solution was, I'm going to cut my finger off to get another hit, another fix, some more pills, some more opioids. Cuts his finger off. Didn't realize until after, when he saw his wife's Bible, that in the back of the Bible, there was all kinds of prayers being prayed. God, save my husband. God, bring my husband. God, give grace to my husband. I visited him in prison, talking between the glass wall, and he's like, I hope my wife stays. I hope. Could I tell you today, now he's clean? How long has it been? 11 years, 5 months. They've had a baby. He's now running the detox of where he first got clean, travels the nation, serves in ministry. offers that same hand that was once addict, once negative, once, now he lifts that hand to praise Jesus. Who is your Tim? Who is your Addie? Who is your Chris? Who is your Heather? Who is it in your life? Who is your Simon? That God is saying, if you could just get him in the seat. I know it's our culture to open up the altars and pray. Today I would love, it's typically what we do to engage in an altar moment, but I would love if you would do me a favor right now. Could we stay seated and pray over every seat in this room? I'm gonna pray over this chair because I believe there's more Chris's in Kentucky. I believe there's more Chris's in the cities and villages around here. Would you stretch your hand to a chair in front of you? Maybe it's the chair you're seated on. If there's an empty seat close to you, would you just stretch out, even if you've got to move a little bit, but would you just left, right, front, back, could we pray over every seat right now? God, save our sons and daughters. God, bring back prodigals, bring back grandchildren, save parents and spouses and siblings. God, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus Christ that you would let a revival come to this region. People that seem like they're too far gone, maybe in despair, maybe in discouragement, maybe feeling like there's no hope. Would you let the love of God pull them? Would you let the Spirit of God draw them? If you know names of people right now that you're praying for, you could see them in the seat. Would you pray for them right now? Would you call their name out loud right now? God, save them. God does save. Would you call their name in prayer? That classmate, that coworker, would you call their name in prayer? God, send revival. Let salvation come. Let us be a part of it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.